Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Hello! How are we, church? Good? What a morning we're having! Wow! Just feel a lot, everyone's very alive today. I love it. I love it. I love it. Lots of faith in the room. Who's been fasting this week? A few people. How's it going, Pedrios? Loving it? Not really. We're fasting over here? Yeah. We're going well? Going well. We're with you. We're doing it together as a church. It's not too late to jump in. If you want to join, we're praying and fasting for 21 days together. And we're just believing that, you know, our roots are going deeper into Jesus and that we're going to see some personal breakthroughs in our lives. And, you know, Daniel and I, we're believing for a few things together for us, but also for some other people too, believing for breakthroughs in people's worlds. And so we're with you as we pray and we fast together. And, you know, we're in our series on prayer. And so we're going to continue that today. We've done, Welcome to Babylon. We've talked about the prayer of praise and petition. And today we're talking about the prayer of courage and consistency. And so we're going to have a great morning together. But shall we just take a moment? Just close your eyes for a moment. Lift your hands. Oh, and just steady your heart, ready for the word. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, speak this morning to every person in this room. We're ready, Lord. We're leaning in. Speak, say what you want to say this morning, Lord. Father, we thank you for this time dedicated to praying and fasting. Lord, I thank you for every person in this room believing for a breakthrough. Lord, we thank you that we stand together when two or more are gathered. Lord, that you are in the midst. Father, and I thank you as we do this together, oh, that there is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, that everything else must bow to the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you we're going to see great miracles, great breakthroughs, health coming to sick bodies, Lord, minds being restored, renewed. Lord, we thank you for finances turning around, businesses turning around. Lord, we thank you for homes on the northern beaches. Lord, we thank you for children, miracle babies in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you are the yes and amen God. And we can trust you, Lord, with our lives. Lord, and we thank you today you would help us, Lord, to get into a habit and a rhythm of prayer that we can draw on each day. Have your way this morning, Holy Spirit. Let your kingdom come and your will be done. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord some praise. Beautiful. Wonderful. Well, you can take your seats, church. Thank you, Simeon. Appreciate you. Don't go too far because I'll be calling you back in a hot second. Well, maybe a few minutes. Have a few minutes. Who likes Tim Exton's prophecy jumper this morning? Just stand up, Tim. Just show everyone. Come on. Show them your prophecy jumper. How nice is it? I'll be expecting to see that at conference. I love it. So good. Well, we're in the book of Daniel, and so we're going to be going to Daniel 6 this morning. If you can read with me today, I would love you to. We're going to read a little bit of the passage together, and we are looking at the prayer of consistency this morning and looking at it through Daniel's life. Now, we are looking at Daniel and the lion's den this morning. Who loves this story? It's a bit of a fave in our household. If our kids want to read a story, it's either Jonah and the whale, David and Goliath, or Daniel in the lion's den. Who doesn't love a lion? It's pretty exciting. Unfortunately, we're not going to be reading the exciting bit today. So read that in your own time later. The end of it is the best part, so make sure you continue the story. But that's where he gets thrown in the lion's den. Not a lion comes near him, touches him. The Lord redeems him, restores him, brings him out of the den, and the king declares that the king, the God of Daniel, is the true God. And so it's an incredible story. But we're going to be looking at the prelude to that, of what this what it looks like before he gets thrown into the den. So Daniel 6, verse 1, follow along on the screen with me as we read this. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials because of an excellent spirit. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." Let's just pause there for a moment. This is crazy. I mean, Daniel is in a high, high position of leadership, governing over Babylon. He's been in leadership pretty much his whole life, and they could not find anything to pin on Daniel. Not a disgruntled employee, not someone who might have got a bit offended at him, not a bad decision he might have accidentally made when he was younger, no one that would speak a word against him. I mean, they were maliciously digging for something. So they're like, anything, just something tiny, if we can even just take it out of context. They were searching for something and they could not find anything. The integrity of Daniel, the only thing they could pin on him was his relationship with God. And so they had to go after that one thing that they knew he would never stray from. Let's keep going. Verse 6. Then these high officials came by agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever." And the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects, the satraps, the counselors, the governors, all agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. Silly Darius. He regrets this decision deeply later on. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house, where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. We're going to pause there. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he ran and hid. No. He got scared. No. He decided to buy block out curtains for his windows so nobody could see him. No. He decided to pray only in his mind so nobody would know. No. It says, as soon as he knew, he went and he prayed in his house facing Jerusalem as he had done previously. What courage Daniel had. I don't know about you, but I think about myself in this situation. Probably not my very first instinct would be to go and pray if I knew I was going to be thrown into a den of lions. But here Daniel is with such courage that even though this decree had been signed, he goes straight away and prays to God. What gave him such courage? What gave him the courage to do that? It's simply one thing, and we're going to focus on this one thing today, was the fact that he had a consistent prayer life. It wasn't like all of a sudden he woke up. You know, they say he's about 80 years of age here, that he woke up at 80 and a decree's gone out and he's like, "I might pray today, even though I'm not allowed to." No, he's drawn on 80 years of consistent prayer, plodding along, that he has been digging a well of courage that he's able to draw from in the midst of the biggest challenge and adversity that he's ever faced. Because of that consistent prayer, he had courage in a tough time. And we're going to be looking at that today, how to get a consistent prayer life. We need to build a well of prayer to stand when we face tough times. Otherwise, we'll be trying to rebuild faith in the tough times rather than tapping into the well of courage that we've already built. C.S. Lewis says, "And perhaps as those who do not turn to God in petty trials will have no habit or such resort to help them when the great trials come. So those who have not learned to ask him for childish things will have less readiness to ask him for great ones." I love that sense of a habit. Like if we can do it, if we can have this prayer well, we're digging just on the average days. Just on the plodding days, you know, just when we need to ask him for something small, when we start to ask him for the small things and we see him come through, how much greater faith are we going to have when we need to ask him for the big things and see him come through? That courage doesn't just come overnight. It comes from a plodding away of building a well of consistent prayer, knowing the character of God, so that when you stand in adversity, you can draw on that well and have courage to face whatever is thrown your way, knowing Jesus is with you. So let's look at three things out of this passage, and we're going to sit in verse 10 and look at the three things Daniel did to get a habit of consistent prayer. He found a rhythm, he found a place, and he found a time. So let's look at finding a rhythm. Verse 10, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. He had a rhythm already in place. We need to find a rhythm of prayer. You know, God works in rhythm. He loves it. You know, we're in rhythms of seasons. At the moment, we're in winter, the worst season of all, in my opinion. Hate winter, 14 degrees water. No thank you for me. You know, we've got 3 months of this and then we move into spring. For some reason, I'm struggling with my seasons today, aren't I, Charlotte? Spring. And then, you know, then we move into a rhythm of summer, the best season of all. And then we move into autumn, also quite pretty. Autumn's a good season. We've got this rhythm of seasons that go on. He's put a weekly rhythm for us. He's like, work, 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 Sabbath. Work, 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 Sabbath. Work, 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 Sabbath. He's put this beautiful rhythm for us in place each week to have a Sabbath and to rest. And he loves rhythm. I don't know if you ever feel like when you're in a good rhythm, things are going well. You're just like kicking goals. You're like, yep, got that done, winning at life, being a great parent, being a great daughter, being a great friend, great wife, just like in a good rhythm at the moment. And then sometimes you're not in a good rhythm and you're struggling. You know, we've had school holidays at the moment. We're not in rhythm. It's a bit chaos, let's be honest. Kids are going to bed late. They're eating a lot of sugar. The emotions are high. And it's just, there's a lot going on. You know, we're out of rhythm. We're all looking forward till tomorrow, thank you, Lord, to school going back. When you're in rhythm, you actually are in a good place and we thrive in rhythm. And we need to find a prayer rhythm with God. Jesus had a rhythm. Luke 4:16 says, Jesus went to the synagogue as was his custom. Jesus went to church, people. And he had a rhythm of it, as was his custom. We need to fight to find a rhythm. Now, rhythms can change in different seasons. And so if you're in this room at the moment and you haven't got that rhythm, I would encourage you to find it for your season. You know, pre-marriage for me, I used to love spending, you know, I'd pray throughout the week, but I love Saturday mornings for me. They were like, just I'd wake up and I'd spend a few hours with God. I'd you know, read the Bible and just have this really great time with him. And I loved that moment. But then my season changed and I got married. And this guy was just there all the time wanting to hang out. I mean, the nerve of him. Just joking. It's probably me wanting to hang out. And I lost that Saturday rhythm and I had to find a new rhythm in my prayer life. And then children came along. Who knows, children mess our rhythms up probably more than any other season. Well, that's the season I'm through at the moment. So, and, you know, then I had to find another rhythm, especially in those early days where, you know, I'm feeding a child throughout the night and I didn't feel like I had much capacity to be getting up and praying. And so I remember finding a 2 a.m. at my 2 a.m. feed rhythm. I would open up my Bible app and just read the scripture of the day and just thank the Lord for that scripture. And I had this 2 a.m. little rhythm with Jesus. And now my kids are growing up and they're in school and I'm finding I've got a bit more time again. And so now I'm finding a new rhythm again with the Lord. And look, it's okay for the rhythm to change. All I would say is find the rhythm. Fight for the rhythm. Find that rhythm that works for you in your season. God doesn't care what it looks like. All he cares is that you do come, that you come to him and find that consistent rhythm. Why do we need a rhythm of prayer? When we pray, we aren't as concerned about what we are walking through and remember who we are walking with. Find your rhythm of prayer. The second thing is that Daniel found a place. It says that he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He had his prayer place in his home, in the upper room, praying out towards Jerusalem. Find your prayer place. Matthew 6 is where in the Bible Jesus teaches us how to pray. And I love this scripture. In Matthew 6:6, he says, "When you pray, go into your room and shut your door and pray to your Father who is in the secret place." I love that Jesus is so into the detail of it. Like even so, he's like, go into your room and shut the door. Like, don't get distracted. Like, let's be practical here, people. He's like, find a place where you're not distracted that you can pray to me. Jesus found his place. He often prayed on the mountaintop. He prayed in the wilderness. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. There's many times throughout scripture it says he went to his place to pray. He found a place to pray. I remember hearing about Smith Wigglesworth, who was a British evangelist, and he started a Pentecostal revival decades ago, and he was a great man of faith, and he saw people's so many people healed. He raised 14 people from the dead. I mean, just his stories are amazing. And you could go and visit his house after he passed away. And I heard of this story where someone went to visit his house and they went to his bedroom. And in his bedroom next to his bed, he had wooden floorboards. And in the wooden floorboards, you could see two big indents where he would kneel beside his bed and pray morning and night. He found his place. I'm sure there was many tears prayed in that place. I'm sure there was great joy in that place. Imagine the prayers he prayed. Lord, do it again, you know. Bring revival, heal that sick person. You know, he found that place that helped him to have that consistent prayer life in his world. We need to find a place to pray. Has anyone got a prayer place in the room? Brian Moe, what's your prayer place? Prayer chapel. Not a shabby place to pray at all. I love the prayer chapel. Who else? Who's got a prayer place? Yes, Robin, what's yours? The Shores? A short hallway. I love that. We used to live in a short hallway room, and Daniel, I used to love it. He would pace that hallway, do you remember? He would pray in that hallway every morning. I loved it. Anyone else got a prayer place? I've heard of people having like prayer chairs, prayer tables. Anyone else? No, you're too scared to share. Joe, what's yours? You've got a room, a prayer room with maps. I love it. Beautiful. I love that. So good. It's important that we find a prayer place. What's your place? Have you got a prayer place? If not, I would encourage you this week, find your prayer place. Daniel had a prayer rhythm. He had a prayer place. And thirdly, he had a prayer time. He found the time. says he got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he had previously done. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Now, Daniel was a busy man. It's not like Daniel had nothing to do. He was running a city, the biggest city of the time, Babylon. I mean, it's not like he had a small job, yet he found time 3 times a day to pray to God. You know, we need to find a time and prioritize prayer with the Lord. Prayer should never be our last resort. We are believers. Unbelievers, prayer is their last resort. They're like, they've done everything else. Can you pray for me? You know, or they send out a text. Could you send up a prayer? You know, when it's the last resort. That should not be us. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe in Jesus Christ. We need to be putting prayer as priority in our lives. That we have a rhythm and a time of prayer, that it's not our last resort, but actually it's our first priority to spend time with him. Matthew 6:11 says, "Give us this day our daily bread." I love that, that there's something daily that God wants to give you. And I would encourage you, if you can, to get a daily time of prayer. And it might be shorter than maybe another time throughout the week, but just that daily rhythm of spending time with God, he wants to give you something daily. And I also love that picture that it's just daily. He's not giving you the full blueprint of your life. It's not like, come and pray to me and I'll tell you everything that's going to happen. He's like, let's just do today. Let's just, I'm just going to give you joy for today. Let's just give you faith for today. Let's give you some peace for that situation today that you're facing. Let's not worry about, you know, tomorrow or the next day. Let's just do day at a time, plodding away, consistently praying to the Lord. The daily bread of heaven, that he wants to come and give that to you each day. Stephen Furtick says, when we don't have time to start talking to God, the enemy will start talking to you. Are you a morning person in the room? Well, I've got a good scripture for you. Psalm 5 verse 3. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. If you're a morning person, pray in the morning. Any night owls here? Anyone love the nighttime? Well, I've got a good scripture for you. Psalm 63 verse 6. I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. Whatever it is, whatever it looks like, set that time aside and pray. Seek God, your Father who loves you, who wants to spend time with you, who wants to fill you with daily bread each day to sustain you, to comfort you, to give you faith and peace throughout every situation. You know, I heard a story of this women's conference that went on in the US, and they were focusing this conference on prayer, and they invited Yongi Cho's wife to come and speak at this women's conference. Now, Yongi Cho has a church in Korea, the biggest church in the world. He has 480,000 people in his church. Lord, help him. I can barely keep up with you lot. Imagine having 480,000 people. I mean, I can't even imagine what that's like. But just an incredible move that God is doing through his life. And him and his wife are known for being deep prayers. And so they invited Yongi Cho's wife to this conference to speak. And the pastor was like, girls, like, this is going to change our life. We're going to find out how to pray. She's going to tell us things we've never known before. And we're all going to have a revival of prayer. And she's like, get ready. She's like getting everyone to lean in and get excited. And so the first session came, and you know, Yongi Cho's wife comes up on stage and she says, today I'm going to preach about prayer. And she says, prayer is simple. Every day, open mouth, pray. And that's all she said. And then she just turned the meeting into a prayer meeting for the rest of the 40 minutes. And I love that. I love that actually prayer is very simple. It's just talking to God. The hard part is doing it. The hard part is putting a rhythm in place, putting a habit in place, actually getting up in the morning when that alarm goes off, actually staying up a bit later to spend time with Him. It's the hard part is the rhythm, the place, the time. If we can get that habit in place, when you actually come to pray, oh, it's the easy part. Just open your mouth and pray. Speak to God. Cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Come with thanks. Come with joy. Let Him come and fill you. If we can get the habit in place, the prayer part is the easy part. I've got a scripture for you, and I'm going to ask the band to come, if that's okay. Everyone, listen to scripture. This is for us. Isaiah 30, verse 19 says, "How gracious He will be when you cry for help. As soon as He hears you, He will answer you." How gracious He will be when you cry for help. As soon as He hears you. I just get this picture like He's waiting. He's waiting to hear from you. Because as soon as He hears from you, He will answer you. He wants to answer you. It may not be the answer that you thought He would give, but He wants to answer you. He wants to help you. He's desperate for a relationship with you, to spend time with you, to fill you with the fruits of the Spirit, goodness, patience, kindness, goodness, that He would fill us with these things. But He needs to hear from us first, and then He will answer you. Draw near to Him, and He draws near to you. He's just waiting. He's just waiting for you to come so that He can fill you with His presence. If we can find a prayer rhythm, a consistent prayer rhythm, just in the average days, the plodding, in the great days, where you're praising God, in the difficult days, where you need Him. If you can just get that consistent rhythm, prayer place, prayer time, find a habit in your life. You begin to dig a well that is full of the goodness of God, so that when you do face adversity and you face tough times, you're not trying to come up with some courage, but you're actually drawing from the well that you once had. You know, I love that Daniel prayed in the midst of adversity, that he didn't pray less and he didn't pray more. It's quite amazing. Because when you face adversity or you're facing a trial, you want to do normally one of two things. You either don't want to pray, you're annoyed, you're offended, you're upset at God, you run another way, or you pray more. You're like, "Help me, God. I need an answer. I need a breakthrough." You're like fight or flight, you're like panic stations. "Jesus, help me." But Daniel just did what he had always done. He didn't panic. He wasn't worried. He wasn't offended. "God, how could you make this happen?" He just did what he always did. He stayed in his rhythm and habit of prayer and drew from that well courage that helped him to face a lion's den. To see God do a miracle in that city and say that his God is the true God because of his courage from his consistent prayer life. Amen. Amen. Let's close our eyes this morning. I would love us to pray together this morning, and I'm going to bring us down to the altar and we're going to pray together. We've got a few more minutes, but before we do that, I want to pray for anybody in the room that needs to accept Jesus into their life. And the reason we ask you to close your eyes in this moment, because it's a moment between you and God where you just check your heart. Where are you at? Do you know Him? Did you once know Him, but you've fallen away maybe the circumstances of life have taken you far from God and you need to come back today. He's asking you to let Him back in. Or maybe you're sitting here, this is your first time, or maybe even coming for a few times to church and you've never met Jesus before, but you know that you need Him in your life. Well, this is your moment to say yes to Jesus. No one can do this for you. This is your moment to do it with the Lord. To say, yes, I need you, God, in my life. Come. As you say, come, as you let Him in, that's where the transformation takes place. He begins to do things in you. He begins to bring His peace and His joy. He begins to speak to you. He begins to reveal Himself as a true God and a loving Father. So if that's you here today and you need Jesus, you've never said yes to God, don't leave without saying yes. You need to come back. Come back. He's drawing you home. Come back. He'll work it all out. Don't worry about how you're coming. Just come. And He'll walk with you. He'll fill you with His presence and His salvation. So if that's you, you need Jesus in your life. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand. I'll see that hand and then we're all going to pray a prayer together that invites Jesus into your life. So if that's you, you need Him. Lift your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. Beautiful. Thank you. Who else is there this morning? You need Jesus. Just lift your hand. Say yes to Jesus. Beautiful. Thank you, sir. I see that hand. Who else is there here this morning? Say yes to Jesus. Don't wait another day. He's here to meet with you this morning. Join these people that have already said yes. Let Him come in. Oh, draw back to Him today. I feel like there's someone that needs to draw back to Him today. Just say yes. Beautiful. Thank you. I see your hand. Anyone else? You need to draw back to Him today. Just say yes and let Him come into your life this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Just take a moment. Just lift your hand and say, yes, Jesus, come. Come. Beautiful. Amen. So good. Well, we're going to say this prayer together. And if you did lift your hand, I want you to particularly say this prayer. This prayer doesn't save you, but all you're doing is inviting Jesus into your life so that He can come and walk with you. So let's say this prayer all together this morning. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for me. I come to you today and I ask you, wash away the past. Start anew with me today. I choose today to follow you. Amen. Lord, I thank you for those three people that said yes to you. Lord, I thank you salvation comes to their hearts, that you seal it today, that it will not be robbed, that they are your children. Lord, I thank you you reveal yourself as only you can, as a true and a real God. Fill their lives with peace that surpasses all understanding, joy that is the strength that they stand on. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand. Amazing.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.